on the inside. She got the scoop on the ones to watch, on the ones that's hot. No one can do it quite like Caroline. Caroline. No one can do it quite like Caroline. It's time for Caroline.
Hey, y'all. Welcome to Hyper Caroline Hobby. I am your host, Caroline Hobby. I know music, I know people, and I know the questions you want to ask. So let's get hyper. Heads up, these are adults having adult conversations, so there could be adult content. I am so excited about this episode. I have two of the most fabulous, fierce, fantastic women joining me. Alyssa Bonagura and Ruby Stewart. Together, they make the Sisterhood Band. They are absolutely incredible musicians in their own right, but together, there is something so magical about them. They have a mix of like Stevie Nicks meets Rod Stewart meets country. Funny, I say Rod Stewart. Ruby is the daughter of Rod Stewart, so she grew up as rock and roll royalty. Alyssa grew up with her parents in a record deal, traveling in a band. They both have this gypsy lifestyle, bohemian lifestyle, but together, their music is so incredible. They have one of the most... just their energy, their sound, I can't describe it. You're going to have to hear it. And when you hear them on this interview, you're going to fall in love. I've fallen in love with them. I want to be around them all the time. They're the coolest girls I know. Their music is incredible. You'll be hearing their music everywhere soon. So get excited. Here is the Sisterhood. I'm here with the highly beautiful, talented, funny, so many words to describe the Sisterhood.
Just epic.
Epic.
Epic, awesome.
Thanks, girl.
Mm-hmm.
Just toot my own horn now.
Yeah.
What's up, y'all?
Dude, we're so stoked to be here. Thanks for having us.
We're here live. Well, not live. We're here in Aurora Studios. Mm-hmm. We're speaking live, but this will air later.
I feel like there needs to be like a Aurora.
Aurora.
Aurora. Aurora.
Maybe in your best Cher voice.
Aurora.
I don't know. So all you people listening, I don't think y'all can understand how talented you guys are. Can we have a little taste of what I got to hear? Maybe a little Cher?
Oh, a little Cher?
Yeah.
Should we do it?
Yeah.
I like you.
Ready?
Should I take two and take the other one?
I have to do the share move. This is the share move.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. Get it
do
all
Do you believe in love after love after love after love after love? I can feel something inside myself. I really don't think it's strong enough. You're welcome.
Okay, while we're at it, throw some Celine in there. We need to hear Celine.
Didn't defend Cher.
No, I love Cher. Like, literally love Cher. I dressed like Cher today. I wanted to dress like Cher.
And it, you guys look amazing.
Like
thanks.
A sparkle.
Okay, can y'all do some Celine?
Celine.
What is the Celine we were doing?
Hi. That's what she does.
See you do it.
I can't. Wait, hold on. I have to think about it. She goes like, come on. That's what she does in the middle of her sets.
Lots of heartbeat chest. Like thumping
on. Have you ever seen
her
great. Live? Like
yes.
In Vegas?
And I died. And I saw Michael Bolton live too. Those are my two favorites.
I love
together,
Michael Bolton.
Separately. But situation. To me, Michael Bolton and Celine Dion are like the top of the
They're
top.
They're the best.
Yeah, and Rod Stewart, obviously. I've never seen
Who's
him.
He's that? Pretty good.
Who's that
He's
guy?
Pretty good.
I've never heard of him.
Well, you know. So we got Ruby Stewart. And we got Alyssa. I can never say it. Bonagura.
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 Bonagura. It's not that hard. It's not Bonagura. That freaking hard over Bonagura. Here. It's just Italian, you know.
It's Italian. Can you cook Italian?
I'm a Hell great cook.
Ooh, la, la. What do you make?
Well, anything.
Her mom's a really great cook, though.
She I learned from my meatballs. Mother.
Like lasagna.
Yep. I can do like eggplant parmesan. Ooh. Real good. I can
nice.
Do pasta. My mom makes this penne chicken pasta that's like the best chicken pasta you've ever had.
Hot pockets.
Hot pockets all day long.
No, my mom makes biscottis, which are like the best. They're
so
the
are you
best.
Cooking all the time?
Yeah.
Is this like a hobby of yours?
I love to cook.
Teach me. I
we just got
cook.
Graham and
you
I just got
cook?
Blue Apron.
No.
Not at all?
No. I can't cook at
You've
all.
You've got to do it. You got to get Blue Apron.
I can cook those box meals.
They're great.
Yes.
It's
they
fun.
Are great.
I can cook some ramen.
I can cook some ramen.
Just put in some hot water and some spices in it.
It's perfect. It's like amazing. So you guys both grew up in musical families. Alyssa, your parents were also, they had a record deal, right?
Yeah. They were on RCA Records on Country in
a
band called Bailey and the Boys.
So did you grow up on the road with them?
I did. I was like 3 weeks old on the bus and I grew up on the bus.
And what is like, what is life? I'm going to go through both of you guys' upbringings because they're crazy.
Bus babies.
They're both bus
babies. Well, she's a plane baby. She grew up on a plane.
Jet baby.
She's a jet baby. I'm a bus baby, but it's really about the same.
Totally. So what
you
is
still
it?
Get there. Just
you still get there. Yeah.
What is it like being a bus baby? And obviously, Ruby's dad is Rod Stewart, the late
He's still alive.
He's still alive. Great. Sorry, Rod.
Definitely still alive.
Great.
Live and kicking.
The late great. I mean, just the great.
The great. Just the great Rod Stewart. What is it like being a bus baby and a plane baby?
I loved growing up in the bus. I mean, my mom would come and wake me up at like 12 o'clock midnight. And she'd be like, Lissy, the bus is here. And I just remember like waking up and grabbing my pillow and walking down the driveway and getting on the bus. And we'd wake up in some random city and it was awesome. But that was my whole life. I mean, literally my mom, she tried to get pregnant for like 6 years while they were like, you know, putting out singles, making the records. And then she finally got pregnant when they had a top 10 hit.
Oh.
And so she was like, great.
Of course.
Great. Now I'm pregnant and I have to like have the baby and push out the first single as well. So
she's pushing double push.
Yeah, double push. So she like had me and then we went on the road and it was awesome. I mean, I loved it. I'm an only child. So like,
okay, I was gonna ask
all
you.
The guys in the on the bus were my brothers and my mom and dad are, I'm like, they're my best friends. So
did you experience some things that most children don't see when they're growing up?
Definitely. But my mom was like, she was like, it's a bubble on the bus for Alyssa. No cussing, no alcohol,
no marijuana.
Yeah, no marijuana. But it was great.
At least not in vision sight.
Yeah, no, they were really great. Kind of like a hippie. It was like a hippie bus. It was
That's
great.
Awesome.
Yeah,
I freaking love that.
Yeah, it was great.
So your whole childhood was on a bus.
Yeah,
pretty much.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where is that bus now?
The bus got sold. It was really sad.
Oh, man. Aww.
There's a couple of videos our drummer
That's
at the
like
time.
That's like your home.
I know. It was like, yeah, That's it's right. your house, basically.
Did your parents own it? Your parents owned the bus.
Yeah. My mom like decked it out in Laura Ashley back in the 80s and 90s. It was so great.
I remember Laura Ashley. That's like nice.
It was
stuff.
Great.
It is pretty
yeah.
cool.
But I just love being on the bus.
What
I sleep the best on
like?
The bus. My bunk, well, see, I lived in the back with my mom. My dad got kicked out of the back bed because she had like one of those star coaches with the bed in the back. So it was like when I was born, she's like, all right, me and Lissy are in the back. We're sleeping in the, you're sleeping in the bunk. But then when I got older, I slept in the bunk. She was worried I was going to fall out.
Right.
You know, like she's like, I'm worried you're going to like hit a bump and fall out over here.
Did you have a crib at one point on the bus?
No, I think I just
you just slept with
I think I just in slept in the bed, yeah.
I feel like you learn so many life lessons
you
growing
do.
Up this
oh,
way.
Yeah.
You know, like
For
you learn
sure.
about people, you learn yeah. about cultures because you're going yeah. to all different places.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
tell me
great.
About being Rod Stewart's daughter. Did you always know he was Rod Stewart? Or when did you realize you had a famous father?
I didn't, like, I still don't, actually.
Yeah.
I'm like, what? No, I don't know. I never considered him, like, a famous person. He was always just, like, my dad. But I guess when you meet fans and someone's like, check out my Rod Stewart tattoo on my arm, you're like, oh, this is a real thing. This is like, you got a Rod Stewart tattoo. But yeah, I think that it's always kind of just been, he's just been a normal person to me. Also because he's just really humble and sweet and, you know, doesn't
he's
really
awesome.
Act like a diva. So
I'm wondering, I feel like a lot of the great legendary artists, entertainers are very humble. I keep hearing
yeah.
that.
Yeah, and I think it's like refreshing to actually meet someone and be like, oh my God, you're a good person and you're successful. Yeah.
They're just, it's their talent. You know, they have a talent and they use it, but they're not an asshole.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like
yeah.
such a bummer when you meet, it's such a bummer when you meet someone that's like, that you look up to and you like love their music and then they're just jerks. It's like, why? You get a gift, like this amazing gift to make music and help people and touch people's lives and you should just be nice and humble about it because it's pretty cool.
I agree.
Yeah.
And I do feel like, do you sort of feel like music is a gift, is a calling? Like it's something that y'all felt from a young age?
Definitely.
I can't remember when I started singing. I think it was just always like a thing that I... You know what, actually, I was thinking about this the other day. I used to get picked on at school. And
Why?
I would go,
me
just,
too.
What?
Because my dad was who he was, and people just wanted
well,
to
Well, he could
me.
Send a sniper out and have them killed. I mean, they should
imagine
themselves.
If I said that when I was like 7? My dad's going to send a sniper to kill you if you make fun of me. No, but I used to like sit in the bathroom and sing because it would make my butterflies go away. So it was always like a form of like coping with fear and stuff. And it kind of still is. Before we go on stage, I'm like,
That's
just, like
exactly
humming
what
to
I
myself.
Used to do.
You guys are soulmates.
People used to, seriously, though.
We
like,
seriously are.
Y'all
we
match.
In common.
We kind of grew up the same, which is really strange. And it's just.
We both have missing teeth.
Yeah.
What teeth are missing?
Our front tooth.
This one. This
Wait,
one,
are
this
they
one.
Opposite front teeth?
Yeah, they're opposite.
Oh, you guys.
My
stop
left
it.
One, her right one. I fell when I was like dancing one day.
My story
in
is
dance
like
class.
Not
and
as
she
clean.
Was. She was on the street. You were on the street. You fell.
I was
on the street.
Outside of a club when
what
I was.
What were you doing
like,
on the street outside of a club?
I was like 16.
She's being Rod Stewart's daughter.
Of a club
being
and I
super
fell
cool.
and I hit my face and it was just bad.
Yeah. So I have two matching missing teeth.
Yeah.
Matching missing
Isn't
teeth.
Isn't that weird?
Mm-hmm. Both grew up on the road. Don't you feel like this industry kind of attracts like the wild ones? You know, yes. Like yeah. Free spirited ones, the ones for who sure. just need to roam.
Yes.
You know,
that's the reason why you kind roaming. Of do it, you know,
because you need to. Okay,
you just need to be wild.
Why do what? Yeah. Why do you guys do it? What does wild look like?
Oh my
to
God,
you guys?
I would
what
die is, without music. Yeah. I would die if I didn't do it. Like,
I have
literally.
No other capabilities of being like, I couldn't work in a coffee shop for sure. Screw it up.
I just, I did it the same reason you did. I mean, I would be in school and everybody thought I was crazy because I'd like go out on the weekends with my parents and I'd come back and they'd be like, just go back on tour, Alyssa. Why don't you write a song? I'm like, this, like, as a kid, you're like, and then you like, the girls make fun of me because I would always have on something like different. Because I, you know, found it in New Mexico or something. And they'd be like, why aren't you wearing Mavi jeans? Because they're like the coolest. And I'd be like, what are they? I don't know. I found mine
those.
Are like hand-me-downs, man. But anyway, so it's, I always made music. And yeah. I would go home and like write songs about kids being mean to me. So it saved my life, really, you know?
You know, I think about this often. Because it's kind of a two-edged sword. Sometimes when you have this calling on your heart.
Yeah.
And you know it's what you're meant to do. And you chase it relentlessly.
Yeah.
It's like the biggest blessing because you know what you want to do.
Yeah.
And I feel sorry for people who don't know what they want to do because yeah. it's like a yeah. wild world out yeah. there. Just yeah. wandering around if you don't know what you want to do with your life.
Yeah.
But also, a calling like this puts you through the ringer. Like it makes yeah. you chase it down and
I
hunt
think
it
that
out.
If you're yeah. not being made fun of, then there's a problem there. I hope my kids get made fun of, actually, because I think it made me a stronger person.
Yeah, definitely.
Being picked on and, like, also standing up for other people that were being picked on at school because I had been picked on. It's a whole, most musicians, I think, at some point in their life have been through bullying,
you
for
have
sure.
to go through mm-hmm. that. That's, you know? I think that's why it's so weird. We were just talking about this last night, but I think you're given the gift so that you can go through all the turmoil and the stuff so that you can write about it and someone else can be saved from it. Just like you were when you turned on, you know, the music that you listened to when you had yeah. a horrible day. You know what I mean? So it's important to kind of go through all that stuff. And we have to, I feel like we feel it almost tenfold because we have that gift.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's very wise. Not mm-hmm. everyone can see it from that perspective. Yeah. Was there mm-hmm. ever a point when you guys thought, I'm not going to do this, I'm going to quit?
Yeah.
Totally.
Like,
but then
yeah.
I would like.
But you have to be kind of tested to see how much you really want something, essentially. Yeah. You know?
A dream like this puts you through the ringer. I feel like yeah. it doesn't make it easy to catch.
Yeah, yeah, but it's so worth it when you do, because yeah. you did like give up on it at one point and then try again. And
yeah.
always, you're always constantly trying to get towards a goal. And yeah, I think everyone in their life like gives up or wants to give up at something that they're doing
because
it's challenging. But it's just important to keep trying.
Without the
always.
Struggle, you wouldn't make great music.
Yeah,
that is so
true.
You wouldn't have anything
you know
to
what I mean?
Write yeah. about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When was the first time you guys felt like, I don't
know
if this
is a therapy session.
I love you some therapy. Okay.
Lay on couch.
I know.
Yes.
So just so anyway, analyze all my problems.
This
can
one
I get
time.
You a lavender towel?
This one time I was.
When I was five.
That's five.
When was the first time you felt like you actually had it? Like made a break? Like had a break that was like, oh my gosh, I'm doing this. Like it's happening.
Now?
Now? Seriously, it's actually, no. It's crazy. So Ruby and I have like, we met through mutual friends, through my boyfriend, actually. So he's in a band, Tyler Bryant, The Shakedown.
And also, y'all have so much fame and celebrity all around you because like
it's
his
weird,
dad
man.
Played with Aerosmith.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's in Aerosmith. He was like
yeah.
him.
This little band.
Just yeah,
this little
rock band. It's weird. I feel like all the offspring find each other. All the musical offspring
yes.
find each other. And we all, because we're all like weirdos. We're like, oh, so you grew up on a bus too? Wow, cool.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But we met like, so they went out to LA to play this Jimmy Page event for like, it was a book signing event, and they got asked to play like all Led Zeppelin songs acoustic, and so they were like freaking out
in front of Jimmy Page
so okay, they're like freaking out.
That's a huge deal.
Yeah,
big
crazy
deal.
So they fly out there and I was like super jealous, I couldn't go, and I remember Graham called me that night and he's like, oh man, it was so cool, and now like Tyler met this girl Ruby in the bar and they started talking about like blues music, and they
so
are.
So that's how y'all met.
So this.
You
so
were at the Jimmy Page event.
Well,
I was recording at the. I was. I forgot. So just talking to the mic just then. I was actually recording downstairs in the studio at Nightbird Studios, and so I went up to have a drink because I was like kind of breaking up with my producer, the person.
The Sunset Marquee.
So I was
like,
I need to go
like
have a drink.
Really, have you been to Sunset Marquee in LA?
It's really cool.
They've got like a
all
studio
the rock
downstairs,
stars hang out
and then
there.
It's like an amazing, amazing hotel, like with
really rad.
Yes,
yeah.
I've stayed
yeah,
there.
It's super
awesome.
Cool.
Yeah,
totally.
So she was recording downstairs while this whole event was going on, and that's how Tyler and her met.
No way.
So Tyler came up to me and was like, "Do you like Muddy Waters or Howling Wolf? And I was like, Howling Wolf. And he's like, we should be friends.
God. Seriously.
And so then we wrote a song that night and then recorded till like 4 a.m. And then I think Graham left and called you and was like,
he's like, so Tyler's hanging out with this girl named Ruby and she's like super cool and I feel like you guys would be friends.
So go Tyler and the Shakedown and Graham for making this happen.
Seriously.
Really? Yeah. Do they get a 5% stake in the band?
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no.
They're going to watch us and be like, actually, we should.
They're the brotherhood. We're the sisterhood.
It's the finder's fee.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Totally.
So they kind of put that together. Okay.
Well, so then she came over to Nashville to write with Tyler because she was working on her solo project. And at the same time, I was working on my solo project and was going through some stuff with a producer. It didn't work out. And she was literally going through the same thing.
Same thing.
So Tyler.
Of course y'all were with your matching teeth and personalities.
It's like, the universe was like, you need to meet. And then we did.
You need to meet. But the first thing, when we met, we were like, God, you're so familiar. Like, I feel there was no.
It's a soulmate.
Soul connections are true.
Have known each other for a long
time. Soul sisters, girl. Yeah. So.
Was it instant love?
Seriously. Well, Tyler called us up and it was like 11 o'clock at night in the winter, right?
We went and got ice cream and then we stopped by their place and she like played us a song and I was like, oh my God, she's such a good voice. I really like her.
Well, Tyler was like, we just got ice cream. Can I bring Ruby over? And I'm like, I'm in my pajamas. Like, but yeah. Okay, bring her over. And so she came over and Tyler was like, you guys should like play some songs for each other. And that's how we became friends.
Yeah.
You guys.
Weird, huh?
If this was not like meant to be.
It's fate.
Yeah.
But I totally believe that, like you guys said, the universe was like,
seriously. Well, then everything just started lining up for us.
That's when you know you're on track.
Yeah.
So what lined up?
So, well, we wrote these two songs together. And then my sister.
You gotta tell them the story because it's really funny.
So the boys were jamming like down on the first level and
this was
like
the apocalypse, snow apocalypse.
Yeah, yeah, so
like
for 3 days. And by the way, I'm from California, so I was so excited. Everyone else was like freaking out and I'm like, snow. And so the boys are like jamming downstairs and playing like hardcore rock music. And Alyssa and I were just like talking, drinking some wine. And we were like, we should write some songs since they're writing music. We should go write some music. So we go upstairs to the, what is it, the fourth level?
It's like the third. It's like third level. It's just like the top level of the floor, the house. And the only quiet place when they're jamming downstairs is the bathroom. And we have this really cool bathroom. There's like, you know, big floor. And so we took all these little lights, like all these candles, and just lit them up on the floor.
You guys know
this
is like straight
turn the lights out.
It's like so funny.
We were like, that's what Stevie Nicks would do. Red wine, candles, sit on the floor,
write a song.
Get real. So we wrote these two songs, The Fire and Someone's, and then we recorded them the next day.
We wrote them
in
like 30 minutes. We were like, that's rare.
And we showed it to the boys.
Oh, we're just, because you're like, is this cool?
Seriously.
So the boys came in and they're listening and we're like, we wrote these two songs. You want to hear them? So we play them for them. And they're
Tyler
just like
jamming with us. Remember he came?
Yeah,
up and
he
was
came
like,
and started playing.
That's really cool.
They were super impressed. They were like, whoa, you guys should like do this. I think anyone that saw us play, just like we were just doing it for fun. Like my dad saw us and he was like, you guys really need to take this seriously and like start a band.
Well, Rod Stewart says that you actually should listen.
Yeah,
well, we did after that.
We did.
That was the moment that we were like, that's not the first time we've heard that. Maybe we should do this.
Well, especially because it happened so naturally and so instantly and so fast.
Do you know what's cool? It's like, I don't think a lot of people meet in the way that we met anymore. Like the Beatles, they kind of were all living on the same street and hung out. And I don't think people are just paired through their record label or like a publishing deal, like to write with someone or whatnot. And this was just truly happened because of fate.
Let's just make music and have fun, you know?
And also to throw in like your boyfriend's band, Tyler Bryant and the Shakedown, to have that vibe, that rock and roll vibe. It's kind of like the Rat Pack, you know, like back in the day, like this group that just comes together and loves music.
Yeah.
And is like living this rock and roll life. Yeah. It's literally the movies.
Yes. It's like Almost Famous.
It is.
It's
like
pretty funny.
Her house, like when there's parties and stuff going on, it's very much so like.
It's really a lot of. But you know what? Like we don't all like know that. We just like hanging out with each other. But it's like, it's weird how you kind of all find each other. And then like, I mean, I remember you called me. She went back to L.A. and then she called me and she was like, hey, I know you have a studio. I went to school for engineering in England, which is even weirder because she was living in England while I was living in England.
We kind of bonded over that at the same time because we were there.
Take a break and explain that little chapter. Before we go on, let's halt.
So I got.
Let's talk about the England section.
Like it's so strange. But my parents got this gig when I was a junior in high school in Scotland, in Thurso, Scotland. And so it was the first time I had ever been overseas, and it was the first time my parents had ever been overseas. So we flew into Edinburgh, we got in a rental car, and we drove on the left side on like these one lane roads with like sheep crossings.
Who was driving?
My
dad.
I was so scared. I was like, I'm gonna die. And we were like, it was so scary. So anyway, that was like my first like taste of, you know, the UK, and I was like, I want to live here. And so when I came back, I was at a party, and this girl was like, she was from Liverpool, and started talking. She's like, where do you go in college, mate? And I was like, I don't know, like maybe Berkeley, you know. I was like, I didn't really want to go to college, I just wanted to like make music, you know.
Yeah.
And she's like, you should go to the Paul McCartney School in Liverpool. And I was like,
how
what?
Good is her accent?
Oh, it's so good. Keep talking in it.
And so I was like, wait, what do you? And she's like,
don't stop.
He started like this really cool Liverpoolian school called the Paul McCartney School in Liverpool. So it was the only place I applied. I got in
so
as an audio engineer to learn how to like produce all my music and stuff. So
that's badass that you're this chick now who can play, sing, and produce.
You know what's so funny is like I met her and she's like light and bubbly and so sweet and da-da-da. And then we got into the studio and she's like, right.
And she's like,
a beast. Mode. She's literally like a beast in the studio. And I was like, who is this person?
She's like, boys, back
off. Fascinated.
I got this.
So fascinated.
It.
But yeah.
So you lived in Liverpool and then you're living over there too?
I think we were over there around the same time. We had commercials as well at the same time.
What do you mean
songs
commercials?
And commercials?
We had songs and commercials at the same time.
How do you get a song and
she
a commercial
had a,
in Liverpool?
She sang, well, this
was
is after
Pepsi
that.
Commercial,
and then, a Pepsi commercial?
Yeah.
She sang, whatever Lola wants. She sang that Pepsi commercial. And then I had a song.
I mean, you can make some bank in a Pepsi commercial.
I get did. It. I spent it all, but.
Well, heck yeah.
So did you.
Yeah, I spent it all.
Well, of course.
We talked about that. That was our first, like, we made a lot of money, and now we, like, know what to do with money.
Oh,
but
shit.
At that time, we were like, okay, let's, like,
where did
buy
that
lots
go?
Of shoes.
Yeah, that's not a good idea.
Right?
Exactly.
Shows. Oh, my God, shows.
You kind of have to learn.
Yeah, you have to learn. But
so you are living over there kind of the same time, both making commercials. Both.
We didn't meet over there, though.
This is bizarre.
It's really weird.
So we've had like parallel lives, very similar lives, but just never. What else do we have in common? We always discover something new every interview we do.
Something
with our grandmothers or something. Was there one?
I can't remember. But we
have like similar family names and stuff as well.
Well, what's even weirder is that so my parents are all Italian.
Oh, our families fought next to each.
Yes.
Fought?
So are you going to tell that story?
Well, yes.
Sterling
Castle? So Rod invited us to come on tour with him this past year.
How was that?
It was incredible.
Is this the first time you've opened for your dad?
It's the first time we've ever like played any shows, really.
No, this is my first time opening for my dad, but I've played in between his set. So I would
That's
sing like one of my songs
with
and then
family.
I would do
Yeah,
Forever
my mom
Young.
Would like bring me up on the middle of her set.
I just
so how
like
weird
an
is
old
that?
Lady just then.
y'all's
first show are opening for Rod Stewart?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty
that's
much,
a,
yeah.
That's a way to start.
Yeah.
That's
and Gary, we did Gary Clark Jr. as well after that, which was so much fun. And then we did Jesse James. We did a run with Jesse.
Love
which
her.
Is awesome.
Jesse's great.
Which you also have her single Lights Down Low.
Yeah.
Alyssa.
Yeah.
And let's not forget you wrote
Gold.
Gold. Oh, Gold.
Yeah.
And you wrote a
gold.
Song for Steven Tyler, too.
Yeah. So the song that was in a commercial, which was in a Lowe's commercial, I Make My Own Sunshine, I wrote it when I was living in England because it was raining all the time. That's
proper,
why I wrote it.
Proper song.
It was like, I thought it was just like, raining. It was just a song for me, right? So I was like, oh, Make My Own Sunshine. And then he came to a show recently. But this is like, that's, you know, talking about the circles and stuff. It was like so strange. He came
and you wrote Circles for Jana Kramer.
Yeah.
Speaking of circles.
Circles.
Just like weird. Killing.
So then Stephen came to my show and heard me sing that song, and he put it on his album.
Did you die when Stephen came to your show and heard you sing that song?
Yes,
on his album?
I cried actually. I was so excited, and then we sang "I Don't Want to Miss a Thing" together. It was my 27th birthday, and that was the year I met you.
It was a full moon too.
It
was like the craziest night.
And y'all have some serious like luck with full moons.
It's really
weird.
Yeah.
Like y'all write hits
write
and turn into
hits.
Well,
vampires.
She came and saw me sing with my dad on a full moon. And then I think it was like literally maybe
two months
later, the next like full moon that we ended up opening for my, or not opening, but we played in the intermission.
And at Caesar's Palace.
For my
so
dad,
all this stuff
so.
Started coming together. It was like really weird. Like we started the band. She came to Nashville. She was like, let's work in your studio. We wrote like 5 songs. I produced them with her there, just the two of us, and my mom sang on some of it, my dad sang on some of it.
It was really nice because we had been in like writing situations where we were kind of told what to do, and this was the first time that we had like the liberty to just do whatever we
Isn't
wanted.
That a freedom.
Really, and that's really what the sisterhood is about. We kind of were rebelling against like being put in these boxes, and so we were like, let's do something that's like soul, rock, and country, like all within the same, you know, song. And so I mean, that's my favorite studio.
It's so fun. We call it Treetop. It looks like a tree house. Yeah. It's my parents live out in Franklin where I grew up, and it's like plush Greenland. But yeah. so then we got a call from Milan Fashion Week, and they were like,
that was epic.
So then y'all go over play. To Milan?
Yeah.
What Isha's like?
We went to Venice too. She's never been to Italy, and I took her for the first time.
The most random thing. Then they're like, then this guy Rob, who's awesome, came to one of our shows at the Bluebird, and she was visiting. I was like, get up at the Bluebird and play with me. We can play all our new songs. It was the first time we never played our songs. And then Rob comes up to us. He's like, you guys want to come play CMC in Australia? And we were like, yeah.
Yes, so we only have 5 songs, but we'll figure it out.
He's like, you need an hour's worth of material. So we went home, we wrote 15 songs, and then flew to Australia, played this show, came back.
That was so much fun. Literally. Oh my gosh.
I can't believe this is all happening. Like, no, you said, everything it's crazy. Was lining up.
Well, when we've been doing our solo careers for so long, and it's never been this easy, and we were saying it's almost like we were both putting in the work for like this moment to happen.
Yeah. Right.
So every, like, just doors keep on opening for us, and we're like, all right, let's go.
Let's
then
go.
It's meant to happen. I feel like it's that effortless. And the thing is, like, it's that everyone says it takes 10 years to have an overnight success. Obviously, you guys have been doing this forever, your whole life.
That makes sense, actually. Yeah. It's been about 10 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You've been doing it. You grew up in it. You've been doing it. But the timing had to be right. Because maybe if you guys hadn't done all this work on your own, it wouldn't have gotten together and been so strong.
Oh, absolutely.
I completely agree. Yeah.
That's like everything in life, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Pretty cool.
Compacted power.
So explain to me the sound of the sisterhood and y'all's vibe and what you're trying to promote as artists. Like, who are you guys as artists?
Well, strong women, for sure.
I agree
that know what they want.
What do they want?
And we do everything ourselves, which is really fun, you know? We've been managing ourselves as well.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Cool. It's been really cool.
Yeah.
Teamed up with some really amazing people that have been helping us along the way and great agents. And
We're
going to be making a record this year. We're like so excited about that.
Yes,
our first record. And
what's it going to sound like?
It's like,
will you come and hang
country
with us in the studio?
Yeah, come hang out. It's like a little bit country, a little rock and roll, a little folk. You know,
Toriel's big influences musically.
Joni Mitchell.
Oh,
Joni Mitchell and Fleetwood Mac. We both like agreed on like
of
we both listened
agree.
To them. I listen to a lot of like Aretha and blues and R&B. Otis Redding, Sam and Dave, like my dad raised me on Temptations, and then also like rock. And I didn't get like so into country. She's still kind of like teaching me about that, the country scene.
But then you listen to your dad's like first record and it's like
Gasoline Alley's pretty folky. So
it's like, you know, it's a little bit folk. I mean, I grew up obviously in country music, Dolly Parton and Linda Ronstadt. And
I know all those people.
Joni Mitchell, James
those,
Taylor.
I know the big ones.
Yeah.
You know?
But. And so that's what we're kind of combining, and I get to play electric guitar in this band, so it's like really fun.
So
it's cool because she can hit those like big notes, like, and I hear them in my head, but I can't really hit them as powerful as she can hit them. So we kind of do that thing where we kind of.
I was gonna ask you, how do y'all do leads falsetto. And harmonies? How does that all go? How do y'all decide who sings what?
It's just whatever fits.
We kind of will just like sing it. I'm learning so much about like, I've never, you know, she's done this her whole life with like singing with her parents and doing
harmonies and stuff.
And I'm still learning. And so we'll usually like, if we're recording a song, like sing through the song, and wherever our harmonies are kind of placed, the first time we sing it, we'll just do it that way.
Okay.
And it like sticks to that. But we trade off quite a bit.
Yeah.
So like someone will sing.
And stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's really important to like not have any ego with it. That's what we make sure that there's no ego. And it's like,
I think
you sound better singing this verse and I sound better singing this part. And you know what I mean? We just make sure whatever's best for the song.
Yeah. Whatever is best for the music.
But that is so key. And I feel like so many people miss that.
Yeah.
And it screws up their career because they let their egos get involved. And instead of focusing on what's best for the song.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It all starts with the song.
It really does.
Right? Yeah.
Okay. So a couple more questions. We're going to wrap up and hear a few little songs from you guys.
Okay.
What advice would you tell your younger self?
Oh, God.
Stop worrying so much.
It's all going to work out, right?
Yeah. I worried.
That's
like,
a hard question
because
I wouldn't really change anything. I would say like take your time with certain things instead of rushing into something because
like
of like pressure. Just like certain. I definitely, if I'm under pressure, I'll be like, okay, I'll do it. And when I was a kid, I probably just out of feeling that someone knew better than me, I would just go and do something instead of questioning it a little bit more and just being like, or take your time and do things that you believe in and. But I don't think I would change a thing about my life whatsoever.
It's really good to go through all the stuff and then kind of come out. You have to learn.
Would you change anything about your life?
No.
I don't think I would.
Do you think everyone has a calling?
Yes.
Yes.
Do you think, why do you think some people don't fulfill their calling.
I think you just have to listen to your inner voice.
Yep.
I think the inner voice is like everybody has it, but a lot of us choose not to listen to it. It's like if you know you're supposed to like go somewhere. I mean, all the fun things that have ever happened, I think, in my life and in our life as a career so far have been like the random moments where we're like, I don't really feel like going out tonight, but let's just go anyway.
That's so true.
And we go out and then we show up and it's like, oh, Steven Tyler just came to my show. What?
He's cutting my song.
Yeah, it's just.
I'm gonna sing. That's so true.
It's like you just got to go with the flow and you just got to like.
It's the nights that also you don't want to go out or you're not feeling something that the best things happen.
Yeah.
I feel like people fall in love when. That usually it's like, oh, I didn't want to go out and then I met this guy and like, da-da-da. Yeah, see?
I didn't even know I was going to go to that show and he just like walked up to me. It was pretty cool. Anyway, so it's, yeah.
So I think I kind of agree with that. I think everyone has a calling, but some people just like, they think that for whatever reason they can't accomplish it or it's not meant for them. But really everyone can fulfill their destiny if they just fight for it.
Believe in it. But that's what music's for.
Yeah.
Kind of like showing you that you should be.
And you have
that.
To put yourself out there and be okay with exposing yourself, maybe failing, maybe falling, and then rebuilding.
Yeah. Yes.
It's not about winning. It's about just making great art and trying to touch someone's life. Like, I mean, if we play a show and there's 10 people there, the goal of the night is to touch one person in that audience and then that's your job done. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
okay, last question, then we're gonna hear some songs.
Kay.
Leave Your Light. Give me some inspiration that you want to tell people. To inspire people or how you've been inspired.
What do you explain?
Like, give
that.
Me some inspiration, a way that you want to inspire people, that some inspiration
like
you want to share.
Okay,
it could be anything.
I would say I think the coolest part about our friendship is that we push each other to like new levels, and right when we met, you know, I wasn't behind the desk in the studio. I was like letting someone else do it. And when Ruby met me, she was like, you need to be doing your own stuff. And she's like, and you need to go produce our stuff. So let's go into your studio and do it. And I was like, you're right. I can do this, you know? And I think you really have to like help
each
other
through things. Know that you're capable too. Yeah. And surround yourself. We were saying it's so important to like surround yourself with people that are better at what you do because then you're constantly like evolving and learning. So I think that's like the reason why I moved to Nashville is because I came here and there was so many great musicians and I was like, I've got to be better. And so if you are constantly surrounded by like the greatest musicians and doing whatever, you know,
then you'll be better.
You're going to end up being the best as well. So I think that would be probably my advice to my younger self
as
well.
And don't ever surround yourself with negative energy because that is horrible for you.
It's like drinking poison.
It is, man.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, life is short, so you got to just enjoy it.
Okay, you guys, thank you so much for interviewing with me. And now we're going to have some music from the Sisterhood right here in Aurora Studios. Teal Audio's newest speaker line, the Aurora Lifestream speakers, are designed to fit seamlessly into your home with its wide range of connectivity. To check out the latest speaker line, go to tealaudio.com. Okay, girls, so you're going to play us some tunes. Before you play these songs, give us a little backstory on what they're about.
Okay, so Closing In from Miles Away is the song we're going to play right now, and it was about a friend who was going through a tough time, and the lyrics are about there's always a silver lining, and hopefully you're going to see the white dove flying, closing in from miles away. That's what the song's about.
Walking on a highway, catch me if I fall. Yeah, we're gonna make it. This worth saving. There's a silver lining hiding a gold sunrise. In the mess we made, trying to see the white dove flying high over this mountain. there's a silver lining. Hiding a gold sun rising. Out of the ashes in the mist we made. Trying to see the white dove flying high over this mountain. Closing in from miles away. Miles away, hope miles and miles away. There's a silver lining hiding a gold sun rising out of the ashes in the mess we made. Trying to see the white dove flying high over this mountain.
Song. This is the song that we were talking about to you earlier about when we wrote it in the bathroom in the snowpocalypse. This is the song.
Stevie Nicks vibe song.
This is called Someone's, and we kind of, it was kind of cool because we started writing this on guitar and we were sitting up there in the bathroom with all the candles lit, and we started playing this progression.
Yeah.
And we just started singing all these random things over it. And on the voice memo, it's really cool because Tyler came up and he was playing guitar with us too, Tyler Bryant. And you can hear us kind of like, you know, trying to figure out the words.
It was cool because we kind of wrote it in 20 minutes and we didn't change it. So we listened to the voice note and all the lyrics were there. And so we were just like, oh, this is so easy.
This is what we said.
It's like a gift from God.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, it's one of those channeling things where you're like,
Okay, well, I can't wait to hear what God put through you guys. So let's hear this song. And then the sisterhood, you guys, thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having us. So fun.
Two drops in the sea. When you find those eyes, you were born to me. The wind seeks the wings and the weight is released. Oh, let it be me. Oh, let it be me. Someone, wanna meet something to someone.
there's a kiss in the darkness, let it be mine. Let me return all your sleepless nights. If there's a dream that you're dreaming, I'll bring all those colors to life. So let it be me by your side. Cause we all wanna be someone's. We all wanna be someone's. Wanna mean something to someone. Cause we all wanna be someone's.
Sisterhood. I know you did. They are absolutely fantastic. You guys, next week I have Emily West joining me. This woman is one of the most talented women I have ever known in my entire life. Not only does the world know that because she got second on America's Got Talent, she was in these incredible dresses singing these songs that no one in the world can sing but her. Her voice, her characters that come out of her mind, her imagination is absolutely incredible. Her range, she's like Bette Midler meets Barbara Streisand meets Cher. She's a one-woman show. She needs her own TV show. So make sure you tune in next week to hear Emily West. And now I have video podcasts also. So go to my website, carolinehobby.com. And if you want to listen, click listen. If you want to watch, click watch. And you can go to my YouTube page. So we'll see you next week.